This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Steve Safran joins us on the phone from Boston. He's the founder and editor at lostremote.com, one of my favorite blogs that I like to read every day. Good afternoon, Steve.
Oh, great. Just great, Coy. Now that everybody has turned it off because they thought the chicken guy would be on today... Who's this guy? We want to hear about poultry processing.
Steve, I got to tell you, just a few weeks ago, I went to a turkey processing facility, a slaughterhouse for turkeys.
Yeah.
It was one of the most mind-blowing things I've ever experienced in my life. It was unbelievable.
I'll bet. It gives you a good segue there. Speaking of turkeys, Steve Safran from Lost Remote is on the line now.
Where should we start? Where do you want to start? You're just back from streaming media, right?
Yeah, that's kind of an inside baseball thing, and I think a lot of people, if they hear, oh yeah, you went to a little convention in New York City and you heard about online streaming media technologies, would rightfully yawn. But why they should care is that's kind of the place where the stuff that they see on their computers takes shape. And I have to say that the quality of what people are going to see in video on their computers is really about to explode. It's for two reasons. One, the hookup that people have in their homes, the broadband hookup, just keeps getting better. The pipe, as it were, that goes into people's houses keeps getting fatter, and people are getting more and more download speed into their home. And the compression technology, and that's where it starts to get a little inside baseball for folks, but all they really need to understand is the ability of people who provide video to them to get a higher quality picture to them through that pipe is just, it's getting really outstanding. So people are going to see high definition quality, if not better, frankly, because of the way some of the cable operators compress that video. They're going to see high definition quality video coming into their computers and eventually to their televisions via the web really soon.
And talk about that a little bit, because I find that fascinating. Most people aren't aware of the fact that the internet is moving into the living room and that television sets very, very soon here are going to come with broadband access on the back of the box.
Well, that's really cool because it really changes the model. You have a product like Joost, J-O-O-S-T, which is completely changing the model here. The model that most people are familiar with is you either get your TV with your antenna for free, which is still a good model, or you pay up for your cable box and you get lots of channels that way. Something like Joost changes the model completely. You have software that gets partnerships with different cable channels and website video channels, and you watch those channels right on your computer. So if you think about that, you're no longer paying for cable. Right now they don't have the same channels, but in some ways it's better because it's actually video on demand. And as these sorts of groups and Windows Media Center, which has partnerships with Comedy Central and more conventional offerings, Discovery Channel, National Geographic, start to cut these deals with the traditional cable operators, you're going to watch the video online directly on your TVs, which are starting to come out with broadband connections. So that line, that convergence line, keeps getting smaller and smaller, and eventually there's going to be no difference. So it'll change the way people perceive what's on and when. It'll change the way you pay for your cable bill. In fact, you might not have a cable bill at all. And it'll change who can become a broadcaster and how.
And this is what's really interesting here, is this that last thing that you mentioned, that who is a broadcaster. You could have a group of folks here in Charlottesville who decide they want to form Charlottesville TV, and they produce their own online video. Well, now anyone in the world sitting in their living room can go on their television sets, dial in to Charlottesville TV, and watch the programming.
Dial in. You're so quaint. Yeah. Well, for example, this show is podcast on Cville, right?
CVillePodcast.com, correct.
CVillePodcast.com. We'll give a little shout-out to them. Well, suppose they had video up there as well. So on your TV, which is hooked up to the Internet directly in just a matter of time, you'd be able to pull up those podcasts and watch them right there. I mean, the last argument that broadcasters had against online video was, well, people still want to sit on their couch and watch this stuff, which, yeah, true enough. That line's going away.
It's really exciting. Steve Safran of LostRemote.com is my guest, and the phone line is open at 977-1070. If you've got a question or a comment about the world of media. Any other big lessons come out of this year's streaming media conference?
You know, the big lessons are the people who are pushing this stuff, the people who are providing this technology, they don't really argue about it anymore. It used to be sort of a debate. Will people adopt this? Will people be interested in online video? The numbers are so staggering now. People are watching video online. People are spending about an hour and a half online a day now. What was really interesting to me was the lack of debate, that while newspapers and television still argue over whether or not people want this stuff, there's really no debate among the people who are powering it. People do want it.
Yeah, and like you say, the numbers of folks who, number one, are online, and number two, are watching video online, it's just going through the roof every day. It's higher and higher.
It is, and every day you see the numbers, it changes your perception of it. You know, people say, well, the audience who's online are younger and hipper, and it's really not true. There's this perception that older people, that baby boomers or older folks don't go online. It's not true. In fact, sites that are catering to baby boomers are a real growth industry. You know, you don't want to write off any part of your audience the way that TV used to write off anybody over 49. It's a huge mistake to do that online. I'll take 50% of the 49 and overs online. Sure, no problem.
We're talking with Steve Safran of LostRemote.com. Let's turn our attention as the numbers for those online video is going up. The numbers of folks watching traditional video on television is going down and going down quickly. CBS News, for example, ever since Katie Couric came on board, woo, into the basement.
It tanked. And, you know, and at the time, a number of different publications and interviews I did, they said, you know, is the world ready for a female anchor? You know, will Katie Couric bring gravitas to CBS News? Well, you know, I hadn't taken Latin since seventh grade, but my answer to the question was the world is ready for a female anchor, and no, Katie Couric will not bring gravitas to CBS News. So I hate to call myself right on predictions, but, you know, because a lot of people were saying the same things. But this wasn't a matter of Katie Couric. This was a matter of really what CBS News did with Katie Couric. And they weren't sure what to do with her. I mean, it was like they said, okay, we get Katie. Katie, it's very important that you don't be Katie Couric now. They tried to take her and make her something that she isn't. So she has this huge following of people from the Today Show, right? There are people who love her because she is this product called Katie Couric, and everybody knows what they get with her. And they take her, and they take all the Katie Couric out of her. It was a huge, huge mistake. I'm baffled as to why they did that. You know, when they originally made the announcement, I said, all right, well, they're going to try and counter-program. There's a certain logic to that. They're going to try and take her existing fan base and build on that. And the more I heard about what they were trying to do with her, the less sense it made. You know, they focused too much on what color suit she should wear and how serious she should be. And, you know, I thought the interview that she did with the Edwardses on 60 Minutes was disastrous. They tried to turn her into something that she wasn't.
She was doing an impersonation of Dan Rather than
yes.
Being Katie Couric.
Exactly. So what did they do? They took this, rather than building on an existing fan base, they took that existing fan base and they said, the hell with you.
Interesting.
Terrible mistake.
And so the numbers are going down for network news, both because they, you know, what they're doing with Katie Couric, and also because people aren't watching network television as much as they used to.
The numbers are going down for network news as a whole, and the audience is graying along with them. Now, remember what I said about older audiences. I'm fine with older audiences. There is a good advertising market there. But you don't want to alienate the younger audience. You want to be able to hold on to that younger audience, and none of the networks are doing that. They keep getting older with the older audience. And that is a problem.
Yeah, I read some study recently about the demographics that are watching cable news, Larry King or Fox, and they're all over 65. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. The average age of a network news viewer is right around 60 years old. And, you know, there is a tremendous thirst for news among a younger audience, and they're just not meeting it.
One of the responses to this is the CNN network, their headline news. They're launching something called News to Me, which is a clever idea. Explain this to us.
Well, you know, they're trying to hop on the user-generated bandwagon a bit and get people to contribute stories to what, you know, is happening in their neighborhood. And, you know, maybe they'll be a bit more irreverent. Maybe capture a bit more of the Daily Show audience. The problem here is that it becomes a bit like your parents trying to talk hip to you. It still doesn't resonate. You know, your folks can learn the lingo and talk street and, you know, try and invite you to sit down and rap with them about, you know, the things, the latest the young kids are into, but there are so many choices out there right now for the younger audience, or, you know, even the not-so-young audience that's just plain hip, that I don't see that succeeding. I really don't. I think that they would... The CNNs and MSNBCs and Foxes and so forth would do themselves much better if they focused more on journalism and less on sensationalism. That's where their niche is. It isn't in, you know, trying to do Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, Anna Nicole, and, oh, by the way, here's Wolf Blitzer with some stuff on the Middle East. Oh, and here's our bone that we're throwing to user-generated content. I mean, they're just all over the place. I don't know what they want to be, and I think that's because they don't know what they want to be.
Are their days numbered for these big 24/7 networks?
Nah, they're still pretty profitable. It's just that they're not nearly what they could be, because they think that fundamentally they're a TV show first, and they're really not. I mean, they are an information organization, and they should have tons of different websites. They shouldn't just be one website. There shouldn't just be a master CNN.com or MSNBC. Look at what MTV is doing, for example. They're creating hundreds, possibly thousands, of what they call niche websites, which makes all the sense in the world. You know, you should have a different news website for everybody's kind of individual taste that's catered to them. The stuff's still automated. So there's a music website that's dedicated to people of my taste that are into classic rock, specifically kind of Beatles and The Who fans, you know, and that sort of thing, who like, you know, a certain style of comedy, too. That, you know, and you find these news audiences that are, you know, junkies for Middle East news and also, you know, buffs of a certain genre and, you know, who also live in Boston, you know, and you cater the news experience to them. So that news on television is about aggregating the biggest audience possible. Unfortunately, that also means the lowest common denominator, which is why you get car chases and Lindsay Lohan is in rehab news.
Right, right.
And yes, I realized by saying that I know that Lindsay Lohan is in rehab, and therefore I watch that.
Steve Zephyrin of LostRemote.com. Last question, if you can do it in a couple of minutes. Rupert Murdoch wants to buy the Wall Street Journal and the parent company Dow. What's your take on this?
That's the end of civilization. My take on it, it's a free market. He should be able to buy it and do what he wants with it. Rupert Murdoch is a very clever fellow and an excellent businessman. And why not? You know, I mean, you know, the establishment likes to make a very big deal out of Mr. Murdoch. The fact is that he has had huge successes, and it's entirely within his purview to purchase whatever he wants. And if, first of all, I'm not entirely sure how you slant the stock report anyway. Well, no, it really didn't close up for. But, you know, obviously there are ways to slant economic stories, but the marketplace would decide then if the Dow Jones, if the Wall Street Journal suddenly became, what's the fear, too conservative? Is it known as a liberal paper? No. You know, it's, if anything, it struck me as a fairly smart move that he was going to take the new Fox Business Channel, which will be an instant success, of course, and pair it with a well-established name like the Wall Street Journal. I thought it was a smart move on his part, and who am I to tell him no?
Steve Zephyrin is the founder and editor at LostRemote.com, where TV finds the future. Steve, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Coy.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com. Right now, with no video, just audio. for now.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.